right. Thank you, choir. That's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We are going to be reading this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. You know, we started last week looking at Paul's conversion as one of the very first missionaries of Christianity. And in that looking at his conversion, we talked about how we should always just never give up hope, because God is always continually working to bring us into a right, loving relationship with himself, and how that moment on the Damascus Road, it was actually many moments leading up to it. And at the end of that, of last week, I read a passage, this passage from 1 Timothy, and it just stuck with me this week, so we're gonna read it again and kind of go through it. Verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who had come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Isn't that an amazing passage? What an amazing, amazing passage. You know, Paul is writing here to his young protege, Timothy, about his experience with this glorious gospel that he's been entrusted with. This gospel, this message that he's been entrusted with, first by experiencing it himself. We always speak about what we know personally, and that's what Paul's doing here. He's talking about his former life and his new life, where he used to be and where he is now. And in Christian terms, he's talking about his conversion and his salvation, the very central components to our faith. And when we think of the word salvation, what comes to mind? An experience of forgiveness and a sense of hope, a sense of going to heaven one day perhaps, a Lord willing distant future for many of us. And while this is important, I think what I notice about this passage is that salvation and conversion also really include with them a sense of inner healing. There's a very important aspect of inner healing that takes place or begins to take place within us. And Paul here is beginning with his inner experience of gratitude to the Lord, and is quick to share that this gratitude comes from knowing the Lord and knowing and accepting who he was formerly with who he is becoming. And especially he mentions he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was a man of violence. He was someone that was, as he calls himself, the foremost sinner. Someone that was so opposed to the Christian faith. Paul was someone that was present, and he was there, and he approved of Stephen when he was being beaten to death, when he was being beaten to death by rocks. He was there, and he approved of it. And we know he wasn't the only one that Paul arrested and voted the death penalty for Christians over and over again. He imprisoned them and dragged them away, as it says in another text. In other words, he has what I would say is a very checkered, dark past in a lot of ways. Again, if someone like Paul walked into our church today, we might be very, very nervous to say the least. But it's amazing to me that Paul, with this past, with these things that he would probably want to forget, he speaks about it here in the same breath, in the same manner as he does the glory and the goodness of the Lord. And it's kind of amazing because from my own experience, a lot of us don't want to talk about those things in our life that are difficult. Those things in our life that bring us pain, our pasts, that can contain so much heartache and things like that. It's just not something we want to do, whether we have been the victim of a lot of those evils in our life, or maybe whether we've been the people, like Paul here, that have done them. And we, in fact, we know from our studies of how our minds work that, in fact, people that experience a lot of trauma in life literally actually block out that trauma. They don't remember it. It's a way of coping with things that are so difficult and so painful that we literally subconsciously block them out to protect ourselves. Or more actively, we don't bring it up because it brings us shame or it's embarrassing. We don't want to talk about it. It's kind of like how, you know, when I was in college, I'll just say this. My cleaning days of cleaning the house or the apartment, they've come a long way from when I was in college. When I was in college, my roommate and I, we decided we were tired of changing out the trash. So we didn't have one of these little trash cans. We got like an industrial size trash can to save us a bunch of work. And you know what we did with it? We put it in our like coat closet right next to the door. So we'd just fill it up with trash and it'd just be kind of out of sight, out of mind. And here's the thing though about me is I don't have a very good sense of smell. And that's very dangerous. Because before long, I wouldn't think anything about it. Someone's coming over, oh, let's clean up, let's throw stuff away, let's shove it in this closet and shut the door, not worry about it. Well, that worked for a while, but you know what? I was fortunate enough to meet a lovely girl, her sense of smell works pretty well. And before long, it found out that this thing that I wanted to get rid of and I'd hidden away, it started smelling. And in fact, then even when we cleaned it out, we got rid of it and dumped it, guess what? That smell still lingered in that room. I feel really bad for whoever had that apartment after me. I wonder what they thought took place in that closet. But anyway, sometimes we want to just get rid of things, but we just kind of put it away and we don't actually deal with the root of the issue. We have these things in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives that have caused us so many things, and we just don't deal with it the right way. And here in this passage, we see that Paul is talking about all these things that he has experienced. And he does this and he brings it up, whereas we would rather want to just try to numb it or get rid of it. Many of us are in the pain management business. It's painful, and so we just don't want to talk about it. I love this passage because Paul here starts by talking about his gratitude to Jesus, about the grace of the Lord for him. And he talks about how, and not in this passage, but another beautiful passage in Ephesians, he talks about, he has this prayer where he talks about he wanting the church to experience the width and the depth and the length and the height of God's grace. The incredible grace that God has for us. And what he means by this, and what I think he means by this, is that, I think so often we understand in our minds how God came and gave his life and for our sins, and how that covers our entire life from the moment we're born to the moment we pass on, our sins are covered. But I wonder sometimes, do we really fully grasp the depth of God's love for us, the depth of God's grace into our lives, into our past, and into our very beings? Do we understand just how deep his love is for us? It isn't just about God's grace giving us access to God, but it's also about how that grace can heal us, how it runs into our pasts and our presents and our futures. And that's good, because without the Lord's healing, without God doing a mighty work in our hearts, we tend to just simply cope with what we're dealing with, not find healing and victory over it. We cope for our need for inner healing by minimizing or denying our sins. You know, it's really not so bad. We minimize or we cope with the wounds and the problems that we face in our life. We throw it in that closet, and it's because it's much easier to deal with it that way than by cleaning it out. And so often we can focus in on our surface behaviors rather than the underlying thing. We can focus on the fact that we have an anger problem, or a drinking problem, or an anxiety problem, or whatever kind of problem, an eating problem, whatever it is. And not that those behaviors don't matter to the Lord, but those things, I think, are only symptoms of something that goes much deeper. And I think Paul in this passage gives us an idea of what this might look like. When he looks and when he talks about those exact words that he uses, notice how he says in verse 13, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. Why does he choose those specific things and use that specific order? He calls himself a blasphemer, someone who speaks and thinks evil resulting from a warped understanding of God. They don't understand God correctly, and so they say things and they do things that are not true and not right. Their belief structure is wrong. Their belief structure is out of whack. And for Paul, he did that to the point of opposed Jesus completely. He understood, he knew God, he understood what God was like, but there was something within him that rebelled against this idea of Jesus. His belief structure was wrong. He saw Jesus as being worthy of scorn, rejection, and disdain. And he believed that he had to earn God's approval by trying to do whatever he could to earn God's favor. Those were the underlying beliefs that worked in his heart. And then when the Lord showed up, his belief structure changed. Those lies that he had internalized, both consciously and unconsciously, those beliefs, they changed. And those beliefs about who God was, they expressed themselves in specific actions. He was a persecutor. Because he didn't understand, because he was believing the lies about the Lord and about the lies in his life, those things expressed themselves in specific ways. He wanted to hunt down God's people and get rid of them. What belief structures do you have in your heart that you have been believing, whether consciously or unconsciously, that are causing you to express your life in specific ways? Are there certain behaviors or attitudes in your life that you can't shake? And you can't shake them because maybe there's some deep lies that you have been living and believing, whether you know it or not, that need to be healed, that need to be taken at the root and interact with the truth of God. And we see that Paul, when he had his belief structure was wrong and it expressed itself in specific ways against God's people, it also affected his general attitude. He was a man of violence. Everything that he interacted with, he did hard, because that's the kind of person he was. That was what was going on beneath the surface. But when the truth of God came into his life, when that loving grace and favor of the Lord, guided by the Spirit, hit him on that Damascus road, all of a sudden his entire belief structure was thrown out of whack. What he thought he believed and how he lived his life was changed. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to expose those lies that we believe and to realize that those are not what God wants for us. You know, we can sometimes struggle to have a good grasp of time in the Bible, but after this happened with Paul, it says that he, in another place in Scripture, that he went away for 3 years. He went away for 3 years before he came back and started preaching or doing anything. And I think he did that because he realized, I have got to figure out the ways in which I've been living and the ways in which God's love and mercy is exposing these things in me that are not true and that have been expressing themselves in my life in the wrong way. And I've got to deal with that. And so this week, as I've been reflecting on that and asking the Lord to show me, God, how have I been living and believing lies about myself that are not true? I ask you, what are the ways in which you have been living? What are the specific lies that you have been living your life by that God wants to bring his truth into this morning? How does God need to unravel the fabric of your life so that he can weave his truth in and restore you as a person, bring healing into your life? Because the lies that we live come from the wounds that we suffer. Maybe when you were younger, maybe something happened in a previous relationship or something that you were never felt like you could trust someone. And you've been living this lie that you have to try to do whatever you can to try to earn the Lord's trust. And God is saying to you this morning, no, no. You are trying to live your life trying to earn my favor, when the truth is that I love you unconditionally through my son Jesus. Maybe there's other lies that you have been living that God needs to expose. Maybe there's idols that you have elevated into your life. Maybe you have been someone seeking after success and money your whole life to find security, and you keep running that race and you keep coming up short, and the Lord needs to say to you this morning, you're believing a lie that security can be found in your bank account and your job, and the truth is it can only be found in me. Maybe you have some sort of a rebellion in your heart that it just won't take place. The Lord wants to speak to that lie this morning. And I think we begin by accepting His grace. We begin by doing that by accepting His grace within our lives. And what I mean by this is, you know, after Paul describes being a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, he says, "But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief." Again, belief is his key thing. He goes on to say, "And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus." The super abundant, super plentiful, overflowing grace of God. He says, "This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." The foremost, not the worst, not the most evil, the foremost. He says, "For that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in Him for eternal life." Paul understands that the Lord came here. The Lord wants to come into your life not because of your goodness, not because of all the ways in which you have it right, but God came into your life to go into that dirty, smelly closet of your life and to bring out all of that junk and to heal it. To think about all those lies that you have put in there and you're living your life by, and to do away with them through His truth and through His grace and His love. For that very reason, what reason is it in your life? What reason is it in what ways in which His grace needs to come into your life? Because I think so many times we spend so much of our life, so much time in our life beating ourselves up, so much time apologizing to God, so much time hating the parts of us that we don't like, avoiding the ways in which we don't want to think about it, when instead this morning we need to stop and say, "Lord, I have been running from this part of me that I'm scared of and that I don't like and that I want to keep from You, forgetting that You came for this very reason, that You would come and let Your grace and Your truth come into my life and make me whole again." No longer do you need to run away from it, but instead this morning you need to embrace the truth of the Lord. You need to believe once again that God's grace really is that good. Really that all-covering, really that all-powerful, really that all-refreshing and all-new. I pray this morning that you would let the love of our God come into your life, into those places that you're hiding away, and let Him make you new, and let Him show you that for this very reason, He is here, and right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, God, we pray this morning that like Paul, we would not seek to simply cope with the way things are in our life, but that, Lord, we would open up our hearts, God, and that Your Spirit would allow us, would show us the ways in which we have believing lies that are causing us to live and operate and to have specific behaviors in our life that we know are not of You. But God, we need Your Spirit this morning to show us the exact reason that You have come into our life and want to offer us some inner healing. God, there's so many of us here this morning that are really, really hard on ourselves. God, that are so just, God, we just do a disservice to ourselves and to You by the way in which we speak about ourselves, the way in which we believe about ourselves, the way in which we just really don't believe Your grace is so good, God. May Your Spirit come this morning like it did to the Apostle Paul so long ago and bring us inner healing in our deepest, darkest wounds, in the deepest places in our life that we're ashamed of. And God, remind us that we have nothing to be ashamed of because Your Son has set us free, and those that are free in the Son are free indeed, God. We thank You and we love You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember how when Jesus was being crucified, when He was on the cross, and the Word says that when He gave up His spirit, the moments before He was letting go, in the deepest, darkest part of the gospel, we see that there's a Roman centurion who was standing there, and in those moments he said, surely this man was righteous. Surely this man is the Son of God. And I'm reminded of how in that moment of seemingly no hope, we see God bring hope and grace. Whatever it is this morning that you feel like you need inner healing on, maybe it's something that you've been wrestling with for a long time, I pray that you would come and pray and allow the Spirit to show you the ways in which you have been living that God wants to bring a fresh word into your life this morning. Or maybe this morning, if you just need to worship the Lord, if you just need to remember that this is the day the Lord has made and just rejoice, I pray that in this last time as we sing and worship that you would be faithful to the Lord and come and as He leads you. Let's worship.